What if you were to join a certain club? Oh. You're going to join the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club. Come on, it's not like you have to kiss some big old greasy, fat, hairy Oklahoma ass.
That would be yours, JR. Come on.
I've got a nice ass. He needs to kiss my ass. I got to tell you, that's a mighty fine looking ass, isn't it? It can do tricks. Watch this.
Welcome back to the Kiss My Ass Club podcast. I'm Paul.
I'm Richie.
I'm Dave.
And this week we're looking at WWE movies, but actually not necessarily their productions, but movies about their stars. So as we all know, Page movie's in the work, being produced by The Rock. Mm-hmm. Obviously, WWE's on side with that, as they're letting The Rock and his crew film at live events. Very interesting stuff.
Really clever that they're doing.
Really clever, yeah. And as Richie was just saying before we came on air, there was a great Channel 4 documentary about her and her family. Mm-hmm. Maybe The Rock saw that, said, there's something here, something of interest. But recently, it came out that they're going to make a Vince McMahon movie. And Vince will actually have approval on the script, we hear. So we're just going to talk about what would a Vince McMahon movie be. And Dave has done the most homework of all of us, as he
bits
of paper in
front of him. I did actually send you a link to what I thought was fake news. You know, I thought this was like kind of an Onion article or something.
Yeah,
yeah. About what this film is going to be, but I've checked it on a lot of other sources, and this is apparently what the current version of the script is.
Okay, so I hate reading, so tell me.
And it's
reading.
It's very much a film in the vein of it's like kayfabe. It almost feels like a Vince McMahon film in the tone of the cartoon of Rock and Wrestling. As in
choking on coffee. What the fuck?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's an 80s setting, you know. Okay. It's rumored to have this very 80s setting, and it actually has the Rock and Wrestling kind of roster, like, so you have like Hogan, Andre, Jimmy Snuka, Piper, and I think Ted DiBiase is in there as well.
And it's only covering like a certain time frame.
It is, yeah. I mean, okay, in terms of Vince McMahon's life, in terms of filmmaking, if you notice, like, a lot of these films that are about people, they focus on one aspect of their life, mm-hmm. and it is doing that. Like, Walk the Line, it focuses very much on Johnny Cash, how his marriage to this woman helped him overcome addiction, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. how they got together. It focuses on one aspect. It doesn't go, you know,
or a certain right turning up to his point death. In their life.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. that's what it is, like, and so this is, I mean, there's no Triple H in this. There's no Ric Flair, and there's no Paul Heyman or even mm-hmm. Dusty Rhodes, which is, I think that's an odd.
That's interesting, yeah.
That's an odd omission. Ted Turner is the antagonist, so
it's, oh, is he?
Yeah, it's kind of, I think it's about the rise of wrestling in the 80s, you know, mm-hmm. so Hogan is a big part of it. But in terms of characterization, I just want your reaction to this. When Vince meets his wife, Linda McMahon, she is a bartender in a strip club.
What?
Is that
true?
I think it is. I'm not sure. Yeah. But while she's in the strip club, now, I had to double check this, but everyone's reporting that this is the actual version of the script. She gets pregnant while she's still working in the strip club, and Vince decides that she shouldn't be working
in
a place like this, so he has to rise to the occasion and, you know, make more of himself and make a future for his family. So he gets in a fight with her boss to get her released from her job, and he gets in a fight with him in an alley and puts a sleeper hold on him and knocks him out, and this apparently turns Linda on.
What the fuck? This isn't real.
I know, but I checked it. This is what everyone is reporting, that this is the version of the script. So if it's not real, I apologize. Now, it is going to go through rewrites, but this is the
current.
This is what got the pitch greenlit.
Okay.
Okay. So
I wonder if he puts a sleeper on him, would he be like selling it like wrestling style in a movie?
I hope so.
With that raising the hand.
No. But you know what I mean by, like, it's almost like the Rock and Wrestling, like, yeah. it's not real life. It's not a real version of events.
Okay, just
it's very much a film.
My Google search for Linda McMahon bartender strip club is yielding no results, just weird links.
Well, it's Nudart, Los Angeles male strip clubs.
Yeah.
It's just a profession. Maybe if you had just Wikipedia, Linda McMahon, you might have got something.
That's a good point. Yeah. But you're trying to get straight to it. No, I did. Look, Linda McMahon.
But after this kind of pivotal moment, this epiphany that he has, Vince then decides to recruit the talent that he needs. Well, actually, no. I think the inciting incident, and Paul will get that reference, is that Vince goes to a Led Zeppelin concert and he realizes that he needs to change his father's company at the time, which is WWF. He decides that he needs to change it from being about pro wrestling to more entertainment company based product after this Led Zeppelin concert.
It sounds like this all builds up to like the movie should end with WrestleMania.
No.
It doesn't. You can think about the success after all of this. He builds up this brand, and then the whole idea of Vince McMahon is like he put it all on the line for WrestleMania.
No,
like, he put all of his eggs in that basket. If WrestleMania was a failure, the wrestling industry wouldn't be what it is today.
Mm.
And that's what the focus of a Vince McMahon movie should be. Am I wrong?
I'm actually intrigued because we've got Linda, who's now in the government.
Yeah,
and she's going to be paid as a bartender in a strip club.
Yeah,
like. Where they can go anywhere with this story, like, and this is fucking crazy.
This is I love this part. Like, after he decides that he should change the company, he needs to recruit his new talent, so he goes out MacGruber style and puts together a team of talent, and literally he gets characters.
Cool montage, different carnivals.
Well, festivals. Apparently that's what it is. It's very much in a montage, but like, I mean, The real life personas do not really exist. They are the characterizations. Mm. They are kayfabe bits. Like, Andre the Giant works in a French diner. It's not the Andre the Giant that had like 10 years of wrestling experience before Vince McMahon met him.
So Vince McMahon is creating wrestling as well. He's creating these wrestlers and it didn't exist before him.
Yeah, it's Roddy Piper. He finds him in jail. I like this one.
Fighting zombies.
The Junkyard Dog.
Oh no.
He finds him in a junkyard.
This one I think might get changed in the rewrites, but Jimmy Snuka is on a porn set.
Your script isn't real. There's no way.
It can't be. That's all I was thinking. It can't be. But I'm after looking up on everyone's reporting that this is it.
Okay.
So if it's not it, if it's still entertaining,
if it's
shit,
real,
like, you know.
I think fucking Storybreaker should do a script reading of this. And you can play Vince McMahon.
I was going to pitch that later, but thank you. It was your idea.
Here's a test. Here's how we'll know if Chris actually listens to the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Chris. Will you do it?
Yeah, I was going to pitch myself as Vince, but there you go. Anyway, we will save that for later.
We want Dave for Vince. Dave for Vince.
You be a good Vince.
Kiss my ass.
There you go. Yeah. Any of us.
Kiss my ass.
Can I be the
Junkyard? I hate Austin. I hate Austin.
Can I be the Junkyard Dog?
Yeah, absolutely. I think more Jimmy Snuka on that porn set. If we're going with the porn angle, we'll go with the Jimmy Snuka.
I think so.
Christ.
But and also similarly, it starts out with Vince in his 20s as a frustrated door salesman.
What the hell?
So it's very Wolf of Wall Street, very walk along.
Okay.
And also they've muddled facts, like Vince Senior dies in 1993 during the steroid trial, which is a big part of the third act, is the steroid trial. But in reality, Vince McMahon Sr. died in 1984, before WrestleMania even happened. So they've really muddled that. Like, but this is really, really interesting. The Montreal Screwjob is completely ignored.
Wow. They go that far?
They don't go that far. They go... The reason this is relevant is... During the trial, Vince McMahon is very much a sexualized character, and his sexual escapades all comes out during the trial.
In real life? Or in the story?
In the story, okay. I mean, the trial itself, I don't know too much about, you know. But instead of his family kind of chastising him over it after the trial, he uses the characterization of the bad Vince McMahon that was portrayed in the trial as the inspiration for the Mr. McMahon character.
Oh,
and that's how the film ends. That they've rewritten history. It wasn't the Montreal Screwjob, it was him being misrepresented in trial.
Okay.
The best part of that trial was Vince McMahon wearing a neck brace. Have you ever seen that?
No.
There's clips of him going into the trial and he has like a fucking neck brace.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Like he's trying to get sympathy or something. That's like, I'm
really?
So
wow.
You can Google it, I'm sure, right? Vince McMahon.
It'll probably bring up more weird shit.
Like, Vince McMahon literally lives in a kayfabe world. Yeah. Like,
swear to God, he wore a neck brace.
Neck brace trial. What, this can't bring a Bentham weird.
There he is! Ah! I told you! Look, he went to the drawing in neck brace. Look, oh, look. I'm a broken man. I'm a broken man. Jesus. Look.
Wow.
That's gas. Was that back in the day
93.
Where kayfabe lived? So was there a storyline on TV at the time?
He wasn't a character at the time, was he?
But he was an announcer at the time, though, wasn't he?
He was still an announcer at the time. What broke kayfabe was the click, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, so at the time, was he like attacked backstage in a segment and he had to like keep it going on
TV? Sure. Wow.
Yeah, he didn't ask for that, did he? Anyway, go back. Sorry. Everything I click on gets worse. It's like riveting to listen to this. Like, listen to us look at Google Photos.
So I don't know. Like, I mean, in terms of, I have no idea if that's legit, but that's what everyone is reporting is the actual.
So what sites is that kind of on, like Reddit and stuff, or where is all that coming out on?
On Mock Culture, and it's on numerous other outlets.
Okay, cool.
So they've all broken it down, and it seems. Apparently that's the legit version.
So I wonder, did like some like Hollywood screenwriter, was there like a legit script and like someone said, fuck that, it's not dramatic enough, we need to like,
oh yeah,
because they do this all the time with biopics, you know, where they condense.
But they had to pitch this to Vince McMahon.
Yeah, so but they're pitching, he's going to love that, like saving a woman from a strip club.
They're pitching a version of what they think Vince McMahon wants to be his life story. They're trying to get a job, so definitely, like, I think he'd go more for this than an actual.
But how can you feature, like, say, Hulk Hogan and stuff? Would he not have to agree for his likeness to be shown? But how is that working with the Page film? Because you got AJ Lee in that film and stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
So would she have to agree? Or do they own that character?
I don't know. WWE would have, I think, the AJ Lee character.
Maybe this is how they can represent the Junkyard Dog as working in a junkyard, because they own the Junkyard Dog
gimmick.
He's in the Rock and Wrestling, you know, that's what I said, that they're using all those
characters. He came from a junkyard, shut up. You're breaking kayfabe here.
No, but they could use those characters, but not the people, so they probably will never, they'll probably always refer to Hulk Hogan as Hulk Hogan, never Terry.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what they're doing. So it has to be a kayfabe film then.
Yeah.
For rights. Possibly.
I'll watch the shit out of it.
Can we talk about, apart from yourself,
casting?
Yeah,
I mean, people are going wild. A lot of people are trying to cast this now as in Vince McMahon, but they're thinking of him in terms of the age he is now, not in terms of his 20s. I saw one I thought was inspired, if you're casting older Vince McMahon, so it was Dennis Quaid, and I kind of went, I could see that. Yeah. You know?
Okay.
John Hamm was one,
but in terms of like this Vince McMahon has to be kind of a pretty young dude. Yeah. Like, so, I mean, I'm coming up blank.
Okay.
For Vince, I mean, it has to be, like, they're going to want a physically big guy, but then look, it's a...
How do you cast the wrestlers bigger around them?
That's it. So I'm thinking, would it be really weird to have, like, Michael Keaton play Vince? Probably too old now, he's too close to his age. Yeah. But that kind of type, like, he can do Wild Eye. Who's young Michael Keaton these days? Who would be... No.
It's only one Michael Keaton, in fairness.
I know, yeah. But who'd have that kind of range?
We're living in Tom Hiddleston world right now.
So Benedict Cumberbatch
should be Vince McMahon. That's kind of it.
I actually wouldn't mind that.
Oh, I'd fucking hate it.
I wouldn't mind that.
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt could be like a wrestler.
He could be Hulk Hogan.
He's too short. No, Chris Hemsworth could be Hulk Hogan. That's who Hogan wanted.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'd watch that.
Who could be the Junkyard Dog? I just want to talk about the Junkyard Dog.
You're really doing. You keep going back there. Like, is it a case of you cast a lot of unknowns?
I think so.
Or you kind of like have two of the wrestlers have kind of like key speaking roles. So maybe like, okay, you're not going to get Chris Hemsworth, but Chris Hemsworth plays Hulk Hogan. Everyone knows who Hulk Hogan is. So you cast up on two wrestlers. I mean, Andre the Giant, good luck.
Yeah.
But you cast up on two wrestlers and Vince, and they're your three main principal leads. And you're paying them a lot of money, and then the rest are just like smaller parts.
And Walk the Line, like, I mean, they kind of cast a guy who didn't look like Elvis, but he had all the moves down.
And people go along with that.
And if it's a small role as well, you don't really bother if it was.
I went along because I'm not watching fact here, I'm watching a film. Like, it's about an aspect of somebody's life, you know. and if they fit the story and how this is being told, like, you know, I mean, all that was important was it was like there was a talented other guy at that point that he met.
Yeah.
He didn't have to be Elvis Presley.
Do you think that they recruit current wrestlers?
I was
not even WWE superstars, but just wrestlers.
Well, The Rock,
because they fit into
played his father amazingly in that 70s show. I think we have to mention
That
was probably the most inspired casting of all time.
That was funny.
But people are saying, like, he did a skit on some TV show where he was auditioning for Hulk Hogan, like, and he was dressed up like Hulk Hogan.
Oh, really?
He did a decent impression.
Do you know who does a great Hulk Hogan impression? Big Show.
He does. That's what got him his first show.
Yeah. That's because he got him the gig.
It's a fucking. It was incredible though. Yeah. Like, he says, like, he walked up to Hulk Hogan. He said, really, really nervous, and he did this impression. But he's a really little young kid walk up to Hulk Hogan, going like, he's gonna hate this impression. Yeah. But I don't think even if he did the world's worst Hulk Hogan impression, Hulk Hogan was still looking at the size of this going on. And he's the first thing Hulk Hogan says is like, all I can see right now is dollar signs all over you. Yeah. Like, he just saw money in that guy, and he's like, you're a born star. Like, look at
the as a film though, do you think, like, if this film is a wrestler, how will it be pushed? I mean, is this going to be pushed to mainstream audiences? Is this going to be like a Netflix original? Is it going to get a theatrical release?
It seems to be getting a lot of internet hype at the moment.
But
so
we're internet hype people. For a film to be successful, you need more than internet hype.
These guys, Vince McMahon's story. Like, I mean, I always said, like, you know, Vince McMahon is going to have an amazing film about him made someday. You know, ideally, I think Vince McMahon's story is so broad, you could do almost a Netflix TV show. If you can get like.
HBO or Netflix.
Yeah. You know, if you can get so many episodes of the fucking the OJ trial, you can get.
Yeah. But it's so big. I think you're right about, like, maybe just narrow it down and focus on one particular thing. Whether it is like the trial or WrestleMania or something, and just stay on that.
Yeah.
The problem as well is, like, so much stuff that's happened over the years, rumors of Vince and all these like dirt sheet stories and stuff, and you don't really know what's
real. There's one real red light that I haven't even said yet that's rumored to be in the script.
Go on.
And
do
it's
we leave it out?
You might actually leave this out. But there's one moment.
It's not the Stephanie McMahon Macho Man thing.
It is.
Oh, no. That won't be in the movie. There's no way that'll be in the movie.
But it's cleverly done.
Okay.
How?
He just says to Macho Man, he's like, you know, you're popular with the girls the same age as my daughter.
That won't be in that movie. There's absolutely no way.
That was a red flag in what this script is for me, but, you know.
I mean, that might be in it, and like, then he's like, yeah, the only revision is that's coming out straight away.
Yeah. Who pitched that, like, you know?
Yeah, I know. Or was it just buried in the script there? And the person pitching it didn't even know.
Because the studio pitching it could be like,
they don't know anything about wrestling. Yeah, yeah. They just got some guy to write it, and they wouldn't know the answer.
It'd be interesting because we have The Rock's, obviously, Page movie coming out. So when we see this and see how this is made, you can kind of start to make the comparisons between whether it will work for Vince McMahon movie, because you're making a movie about a fake show. I just don't know how it works. I've never seen a movie about wrestling before.
But
like,
the wrestler.
No, but you know what I mean. But that's completely fictional. Like,
well, it kind of is and it kind of isn't. Like, it's you could say that the wrestlers
grounded so in reality.
Yeah, like, it's a biography about most wrestlers.
Yeah, it's completely. Yeah, I know what you're saying. If you were talking about historical events, like, you know,
yeah, like,
but in terms of, like, they've already, there's precedent for, as I said, we use Walk the Line as example. Like,
yeah,
you can dramatize. Real life events, even though there was enough drama in real life.
One of my favorite biopics of all time is The People vs. Larry Flynt.
Yeah.
And that is an unusual film in that that kind of goes from the beginning of his career.
He's very much a Vince McMahon character as well.
Towards the end of it. They actually encapsulate nearly his whole life story in one film, which is unusual to do successfully. But it hinges around key points, obviously, The People versus Larry Flynt, which is in the name of it.
They find a common thread in his wife. I mean, she's the common thread, like, you know.
No, that's what I mean. They're able to hook it around certain events and that kind of thing, but they do manage to encapsulate.
Yeah,
they
go from his youth to because later that's what life, the story was. And I think that, you know, in terms of his life, Vince McMahon's life is full of films, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's actually full of huge moments, you know, because Vince McMahon has literally, he's had such an effect on pop culture, you know, he's just existed, he has changed, he's morphed.
I'd prefer to see a movie just on the relationship between Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, you could literally go that small.
Because like they created WrestleMania together. They were workout buddies. They were close friends. But he left and went to WCW.
Even within that, though, you could focus on, as you said, the build up to WrestleMania. Mm. You could focus on the first few. And you could have the ending of the film being when he leaves the company.
Yeah. Or the ending be when he comes back.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, like, there's so many different aspects. It's a nightmare. Absolute nightmare.
Yeah. And then you can just focus on that, and then you don't have to go into any other kind of weird details. Like, the way you're describing, like, Linda's working in a strip club and all this kind of. It's like they're reaching for material. Yeah. And they're creating all this weirdness.
But maybe it's a case of it won't be called. Maybe this film won't be identified as a Vince McMahon film. Maybe they'll actually just change names. Maybe it'll be like The Wrestler. Maybe it'll be a story that's like Vince McMahon's life.
I get that, if
they're changing it, but if they're going to him saying, look, we're basing it on your life, but we'll call it something else, maybe that's what we'll get in the end.
Yeah.
Because again, I can't imagine.
I think they want to trade it off his name, though.
Will Linda want her name? She's a politician now. I mean, wrestling has kind of like held her back from her political goals long enough. Will this really be something Vince will go ahead with? I don't know.
Mm.
But I wouldn't be. I think I'd prefer to see the HBO, you know, biopic series.
Love 10 episodes. Like, fucking amazing.
You can even focus each episode on a particular wrestler.
You're talking like my dream all week.
Episode one could be Hulk Hogan, episode two could be Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, because they're all different relationships he had with these guys.
You have the opportunity there to have like each season have its own identity.
And they all, to this day, even see Kurt Angle, like, he talks about, like, you know, like, oh, well, I got on really well, Vince. Everyone always wanted to be not just the champion, but Vince's favourite. Yeah. Like, he's the one common denominator that they all really...
Yeah,
want acceptance from.
They're craving his attention. All the time. Listening to DDP on Austin's podcast this week, and he was like, as he was practicing his speech, he made a reference about like the catalog getting booked for WrestleMania 6 and not him. And he made that joke, and he was like, and Vince McMahon popped. He was like, oh, he said something. And DDP seems so proud of the fact that he popped McMahon in rehearsal. Yeah, yeah. Like, they're all constantly after his approval.
Yeah,
like, you know,
always.
It's crazy. I've never seen someone to just be on a pedestal like this for all these wrestlers just to.
And it's interesting because he'd be close to the same age as most of them. Usually, like, someone like that as a father figure.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can understand Vince being a father figure to, like, a Triple H. The age gap is there. But these people's ages are actually quite comparable, yet they're still looking to him for
approval. If you look at the video on YouTube you actually sent to me before.
He was a leader, he was a pioneer.
Of himself and Shawn Michaels. When he gets his Hall of Fame ring, and they have this really weird embrace. And you can see that, like, they have this close bond, like it's beyond, like, even father and son, like, because they've been through so much. Like, focus one episode on that, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it'd be,
and then what you can do then is you can go to different timelines and just have like different actors or the same actor if you want. That Vince, you could have like start off with early Shawn Michaels' career, go to him winning the title at WrestleMania. But you could do all that and just focus on Michaels and just jump around a little bit. And then you're getting bits of the story. You could have one arc, which is McMahon, but jump around a little bit with all the other wrestlers. Like,
I absolutely, I've been thinking about that all week. You know, you're channeling Chris Brennan here. I wish he was here. he'd love this. But I've been thinking about that like all week, kind of going like this. Like, you could just like focus.
But if you really made this a period thing, you know. One season's the 80s, one season's the 90s, one season's the noughties, and one season is the 80s.
You can hop around timelines, you know.
I think hopping around would be good.
It'd be amazing. Like,
I think for a show, logistically, that's harder.
Yes,
but I think you could get...
Or it's clever.
It's clever, but I mean, like, think about like how Mad Men worked and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Look... But it's,
it could be a beautiful drama like Mad Men.
Like, you want to see
like
something
six
like,
seasons of like fucking amazing shit. Like,
and the time's changing and attitudes changing and audiences changing. What are we doing? Yeah. And can you imagine them kind of like all that drama about, like, cause I recently went back and watched the Mankind debut match, and it was 1994, I think.
Mm.
Jesus, it was such a shock. It was literally, it was the night after WrestleMania. Mm. It was like Raw was taking place in a carnival. Yeah. The audience were chaos, they didn't give a shit, they were looking everywhere, they were cheering this. Mm. I saw people having conversations in the background. It was real basic stuff.
Yeah.
And the production values were terrible, and I kind of associate Mankind as being not that far ago.
Mm.
It was mad to jump to the 90s, an era I think is modern, and see it being hokey. So it kind of, you've so much room to play with there. If you set it in the 90s, it could still be hokey. It's not as sophisticated.
I like the idea of seeing a story true, like if you like, and be controversial subject, but if you did one on Own Heart, for example,
yeah,
and then you know it's like, this is the start of Own Heart breaking into WWE, you know where this is going to end. It's going to end, it's going to end with the death, like, and like you want to see that story true, because I think if you're watching the 80s and you get little bits of like Bret, Shawn, Hogan, Randy Savage, you kind of want more. I think it'd be jumping around a bit too much. I just think if you focused it on one character or one wrestler and then just followed that path and then went from there, does that make sense?
Yeah
I think the air thing, I just want to see too much. Like, I see Randy Savage and be like, oh yeah, I want to see more of him.
It's an embarrassment to riches when you think about all the characters you could have.
It's like I want to watch more of the Junkyard Dog. I just want to see him, like, I just want to see him more.
You start jumping into WCW because they own the rights to everything there.
Yeah,
you have the WCW boardroom versus the WWE boardroom.
It's all incredible stuff. Like the material is there to be mined from.
Absolutely.
And you have like the amount of podcasts and like this, people just want to talk about it. Yeah. They just want to relive these stories, you know. How many wrestling biographies do you own? We kind of had to talk about this last week.
Oh, several, like, you know, probably 10. Like,
They're all films waiting to happen, each one of them.
Can I ask, if you were to make a motion picture and focus on one particular wrestler, who would it be?
I'm keeping that a secret. I'm working on it.
Okay, Paul.
If I can make what?
Make a film about one superstar.
One Jeannie Mac. Catch Me on the Hop. I don't know. I suppose, like, as a kid, the one that fascinated me most was probably Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in that. But then again, I kind of feel like there's enough information out there about
We know what
that.
Happens. We know what happens.
Who would I like to see? And the Marty Jannetty story is kind of sad.
That would be great.
You know, it could be good, but again, it's
a great TV film.
It's a little bit like The Wrestler, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, maybe, do you know what? Something we don't know a lot of is that Hulk Hogan's time in Japan.
Yeah.
I'm not saying a film about that, but it's like, I'd like to see maybe like a Table for Three, or I'd like to see something more about that with, you know, historic archives still game with it. Yeah. That'd be interesting to me, because again, I've looked at clips, his wrestling style was very different. He had to market himself in a very different way over there.
Yeah. You know,
I think there's nuggets like that I'd nearly like to see.
I'm watching them, as I said, like, you know, I was a huge Hulkamaniac as a kid, like, huge, and when you really get into wrestling now, you hear so many people shit on them and, you know, like, talk negatively about them, and then you rewatch old kind of WrestleManias and the matches aren't great, and it's like, it kind of tarnishes the memory. But as I said, like, I'm watching a lot of a Saturday night's main event, and I'm watching a lot of other things where it's like, it's not the big pay-per-views, and like, he's having great matches on these other lesser known kind of things, like, and it's like, you could see why, like, it's made me like a big Hulkamaniac again. I'm like kind of going, like, this guy is phenomenal, like, you know, he's big, he's powerful, you can totally see why Vince was like, absolutely, this is the guy, like,
and maybe it's a case of like,
it's the Lionel Messi of like wrestling to a degree. His
talents got narrowed, though. He got narrowed to a catchphrase and a few moves, and maybe that was the problem. There was more to him than that. But they figured, look, this is the marketable stuff.
He kept, every match he had was the same, and he still kept it seemed fresh. Like, you know, he gets in, they beat the fuck out of him.
It wasn't about the
match. He hooks up, he comes back.
It's about the storyline.
But like, if you think about, like, a Hulk Hogan match, always the same.
It's a John Cena match.
It's worse, because at least John Cena matches are kind of different. Like Hogan would literally just get beaten up, Hulk up and win.
There's a big difference. There's a massive difference. Hulk Hogan gave the fans what they wanted. Yeah. The fans are like willing this, like literally cheering.
I'm not saying it's a negative. You know? I'm paying
and,
respect.
And they throw swerves at them because it doesn't happen every time. Yeah. It like might happen 80% of the time.
Yeah,
you know, but it fucking kept bums and seats. Like, you know, kept
but he did
watching.
It consistently for years.
Yeah.
And then it did wane, and they used at times they had to pump like cheers into the crowd and stuff like that. And then he left. He wanted to retire. He went to the WWE. Yeah. But we're kind of digressing there.
If I was to make a movie on a WWE superstar, I'd go with Ultimate Warrior, because it's marred in controversy. They have so many moments, like him, like the famous one where he was going to go out for a SummerSlam, I think, for a title match, and he went to Vince just before the match,
and he
demanded money. He said, I'm not going to go out unless I get paid.
Vince
agreed. He did the match. Vince paid him and fired him on the spot, and he was like, I'm out of my word, I'll still pay him. Like, and I think that's amazing.
I'm out of my word. Like, I mean, that's why Vince McMahon's a great character, you know what I mean? Like, that's why he's fascinating. Like, you have so much respect for what the way he operates, the fact that he let Bret Hart have one shot after he screws him in Montreal. He says, you can hit me.
Yeah.
He let him hit him. He gave him a black eye.
Yeah.
You know, he's a man of his word. Like, I mean, this is a guy who was like, you know, he's so rich, he has lawyers, he could have that guy like locked up for that, you know? But he lets him have one shot on him, like he's a real,
yeah,
you know, he's this old school dude like that will let this happen, like, you know.
I was trying to find someone's name on the internet, but I can't find it.
Yeah, so like, we're all getting distracted.
Just googling the weirdest things.
I'll just keep repeating what I said until he does that. Like, you know,
I was just trying to find. I couldn't. You know, something doesn't come to your tongue.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck is that thing? But anyway, look, fuck it. So look, that's our thoughts. Oh, that's Dave's thoughts, really. I suppose mainly on the Vince McMahon film. So I think it could be good. I think we'd all prefer to see a straight club biopic. Show.
Well, it could be the start of, like, you know, just people mining from that material.
It could be a trend. Can you imagine the WWE Cinematic Universe? You know?
Oh, wow, the Cinematic Universe.
And they all come together for WrestleMania.
I love it. Came together if they fought like an alien threat of wrestlers. That'd be pretty.
I think it'd be really cool to do, like, if they were to go with the idea we set up of individual wrestlers, you could show, like, a moment from their time, like, for example, like Hogan. The opening sequence of the show or the episode could be like Hogan slamming Andre, pinning him, holding the title, and then it would, like, you know, go to opening credits and it'd be like the Hulk Hogan episode or something like that. It'd be really cute.
20 hours earlier.
Yeah.
That device, how did this happen? The end of Act 2. That's very good. Is there anyone else, I mean, the modern people that you'd like to kind of, I suppose we're spoiled now because we get so much access to our modern superstars. You know, it's not like our kind of like 80s superstars kind of thing. We get so much access through social media and all that kind of thing with our modern people. But like, Chris Jericho's written a few kind of biographies. He'd have a very interesting film, I think, about him.
Yeah, I mean, his Beyond the Ring story is fantastic.
His story in the public is out there, but you could still, there's still loads of drama there.
I'd like to see when he went from WCW to WWF, because he was one of the first guys to jump ship.
I want to see his time.
Have you watched this Beyond the Ring
on the network? It's Beyond the Ring.
Yeah.
No?
It's on the network. It's absolutely fantastic. Really, really good. Recommend it. Like, because it was him and Lance Storm.
Yeah.
You know, but he's like, he wanted to be a musician. He went to the heart school, and he was like, there was no hearts there. Like, it was just like a heart school, and he says, like, it was just full of like guys that were never going to be wrestlers. But he says there was Lance Storm was there, and he says the two of them looked at each other and kind of went, oh, actually there's one other serious guy here.
Okay.
And so they kind of they trained hard together, like, and it's a great kind of buddy story. That could be a great film in itself.
That could be,
like,
cool. Yeah, a road movie with these two guys.
They went to Japan and stuff, and then
actually scratch it, that's the film I want to see.
Yeah,
I want to see those two boys on the road.
It's so different as well, like Lance Storm was like, you know, if I could be serious. Chris Jericho's like, you know, this crazy fucking wild kid,
a rock star.
Yeah.
That'd be great, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I want to see. Yeah. Cool. Okay, cool. Listen, thanks for listening, guys. I've been Paul.
I've been Richie.
I'm still Dave.
What if you were to join a certain club? Oh! You're going to join the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club. Come on. It's not like you have to kiss some big old greasy, fat, hairy Oklahoma ass.
That would be yours, JR. Come on.
I've got a nice ass. He needs to kiss my ass! I gotta tell you, that's a mighty fine looking ass, isn't it? It can do tricks. Watch this.